This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. If you happen to walk by the Starbucks on Comm Ave in Brookline today, you might hear something like this.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, this manager has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, this manager has got to go.
Get up,
get down. Boston is a union town. Get up, get down. Boston is a union town.
Employees of the 874 Commonwealth Avenue location are on strike as of Monday, so let's talk about it. Here with us now, Spencer Costigan, a shift manager at the 874 Commonwealth Avenue Starbucks location. Spencer, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And I do want to note, we reached out to Starbucks to invite the location's manager or the corporate office to join us. They declined. They sent us a statement. We'll give you some of that in a bit. But for now, Spencer, you announce in a letter, 4 a.m. Monday morning or so, you're going to strike. It's day four now. It's a heat wave. Standing in front of your store, is it what you expected? How's it going?
Honestly, it's going better than I expected. We've had such an incredible outpouring of support from not only other Starbuckses, be they unionized or not, but local unions and just passersby, people who want to stop and just offer support. We've really been shocked and pleasantly surprised by just how well things have been received.
So I want to back up. You and your coworkers, you vote to unionize in June. Tell us why. How did that part come about?
Well, I mean, Starbucks is not exactly a high-paying job. Boston is a pretty expensive city. And we all decided, hey, we'd like to unionize so we could try to improve these conditions. Maybe we could get some more pay. Maybe we could get some better hour guarantees. Maybe we could get some better health care coverage and make it easier for partners who are part-time to get health care coverage.
So, Spencer, you don't have to tell me how much you make an hour, but roughly the members of your store, roughly how much do they make an hour?
So most of them are making about $15 an hour, which is just not tenable for Massachusetts and Boston especially.
So what happened after you voted to unionize?
Well, we voted to unionize officially. The vote was counted on June 3rd. Less than a week after that, our previous manager left, and we were introduced with this new manager who has immediately started to do some classic union busting tactics, cutting our hours and like flooding the store with new hires, understaffing shifts, and generally being a nuisance.
So we are talking with Spencer Costigan, who's a Starbucks shift manager at 874 Commonwealth Avenue, where they have been on strike since Monday. Starbucks sent us a statement. Spencer, I'm going to read it here. We're aware of a strike at the 874 Commonwealth Avenue store location today. Starbucks values each of our partners, and we respect their legal rights to engage in organizing activity or protest. Allegations of retaliation for organizing are patently false. We are grateful for each partner who did come into work today, and we are doing our best to listen to the concerns of all of our partners, end quote. That was as of yesterday afternoon. What's your response?
Well, I mean, nobody went to work at my store, so I'm not sure if they're talking about any of us.
So is the store closed right now?
The store is closed. It has been since Sunday, and I mean, it's going to continue to stay closed until they choose to negotiate with us in good faith.
Have you heard directly from management or corporate over these last few days?
I have not personally, but I know that the district manager has reached out to a couple people in my store, including another shift manager, at least one other shift manager, and a couple of baristas.
So what do you think is the next step in the process?
Well, the next step for us is to wait until they're willing to talk to us as a collective rather than trying to get individuals to, contradict each other or what have you. We're definitely like one unit, and we demand to be treated as such. And we're going to stay outside and protest until that's how they choose to engage with us.
How long are you prepared to do that?
As long as it takes. It's a kind of a scary prospect, doing an indefinite strike. But I mean, that's the only way that these people will listen to us is if we choose to shut down their business for an indefinite amount of time.
How are you making ends meet?
Well, we have a lot of really generous people donating to, like, our strike fund. And then, of course, through the union, we have a portion of our pay being covered. Me, personally, I just have a little bit in my savings that I don't mind dipping into. But a lot of us are also students, not me personally, but there are a lot of, like, students who mostly use the job for, like, you know, to get some spending money. So they're less financially dependent than some of our other employees, so they can stand to wait it out a little longer.
Spencer, it's hard for me to imagine that doing this and putting yourself in this position isn't personal for you. So what do you personally want out of this?
Well, I personally see this not as just a strike for our store, but as a like the first step in hopefully getting better treatment for other Starbucks in the area and also other workers in the area. This is ultimately like a movement of labor. And, you know, the better that one business in an area is forced to treat their employees, the better that all the businesses in the area have to, you know, compete to keep up with that. So hopefully we'll see if we can start something bigger than ourselves.
Spencer Costigan is a shift manager at the 874 Commonwealth Avenue Starbucks. They've been on strike since Monday. Spencer, thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
So joining us now, John Logan, a business professor and department chair at San Francisco State University and an expert on anti-union activities and legislation. John, welcome to the show.
Hi, glad to be on. Thank you.
So John, I know you were listening to the conversation with Spencer. Reactions to what you just heard?
Yeah, you know, really what Spencer is describing is part of a nationwide pattern. I mean, just to back up really quickly, the Starbucks organizing campaign started in Buffalo, New York last December. They won two elections in Buffalo in December. They've now won almost 200 nationwide, including a significant number in Massachusetts and some spread to Vermont, to Maine, to Connecticut. They've won 52 of these elections unanimously. A lot of the others they've won overwhelmingly. And they've won in parts of the country where unions don't normally win. And it's also about how they've done it. It's really spread through the sort of grassroots dynamism of worker organizers like Spencer all over the country. I mean, this is the dynamic through which the campaign has spread. But and it's remarkably successful. I mean, almost unique in recent U.S. labor history. But the success of the campaign, I think, has in some ways obscured a really ferocious anti-union campaign and unlawful anti-union campaign. And, you know, you don't need to take my word for it. National Labor Relations Board at the moment is processing over 200 unfair labor practice charges against Starbucks all over the country.
So let me stop you there for a minute, John, to ask for some examples. You say ferocious. So
yes.
Give me an example of what's ferocious.
Sure, of course. So there's actually a hearing before an administrative law judge in Buffalo, New York, as we speak, which is covering the anti-union campaign just in Buffalo from last fall. The NLRB found that Starbucks had committed over 200 individual violations of federal labor law just in Buffalo, just at the half dozen or so stores. It had fired 7 workers. It had closed stores. It had spied on workers. It had threatened workers. It had offered workers benefit if they opposed unionization. And you know, the list goes on. So, you know, I could, you know, take up a lot of time just telling you all of the things that the NLRB complaint from the regional director, which came out in May, said that Starbucks was guilty of.
So let me note, and I feel like I need to, that's an interested party, the NLRB.
Yeah.
Does your research show that this is typical behavior?
Well, the NLRB is an independent government agency. You know, these are very neutral fact-finding investigations. You know, they have to find merit in the complaint. They try to get the parties to settle. If not, you know, it goes before an administrative law judge and then to the full NLRB. It's very unusual to have this many allegations of unfair labor practice charges in such a short period of time and all over the country. And so, you know, there are allegations of over 40 workers who say that they have been fired as a result of their involvement in the anti-union campaign. And the purpose is to send a message. You know, they don't have to fire every single worker. They just have to, you know, fire and retaliate and to threaten to take away benefits enough that it will create this chilling atmosphere at Starbucks stores throughout the country.
So, John, I'm going to remind listeners that we invited Starbucks to send the manager of 874 Commonwealth Avenue in Brookline, where they're striking, or someone from corporate office. They sent a statement instead. A little bit of that statement: Starbucks values each of our partners, and we respect their legal rights to engage in organizing activity or protest. Allegations of retaliation for organizing are patently false. And yet you are laying out a track record from an independent governing body saying that is not true. So what's the strategy, the game here from Starbucks? And compared to other organizations facing unionization, where do they sort of fit on the anti-union Richter scale, if you will?
Well, the problem is that, you know, obviously companies like Starbucks, and you could say Amazon clearly too, have very deep pockets with which to fight these union campaigns. And, you know, by all accounts, they're prepared to do whatever is necessary in order to try to defeat the workers' efforts to choose a union. And the problem with the board is two very long-standing problems. One is the problem of delay. If workers are fired for union activity, if they're retaliated against, if their stores are threatened with closure, or if they're closed, as has happened in Ithaca, New York, in Buffalo and other places, it takes months and months and months for the board's processes to work themselves out. And eventually the workers might get reinstated, they often do, with back pay if they weren't working in the meantime. Eventually Starbucks might be ordered to reopen the stores, but in the meantime, the damage has been done. The second thing is that unfortunately the remedies for violations of the law are completely inadequate. And so, you know, for anti-union companies such as Starbucks that are determined not to give their workers a fair choice on unionization, breaking the law is just the cost of doing business.
We're talking with John Logan, who's a professor at San Francisco State University, about Starbucks and its approach to unionizing across the country. After Spencer Costigan joined us, they are a Starbucks shift manager at 874 Commonwealth Avenue here in Brookline area that is striking now. John, Starbucks for a long time was celebrated as a company that was great to its employees.
Yeah.
So square that circle, and I, you know, you're laying out, you know, some clear cases here. But what happens that a company goes from that to this?
Well, you know, Starbucks, as you said, has a very progressive reputation. You know, is very good on issues like LGBTQ rights. Is very good on, you know, issues of environmental justice. Compared with many companies, it attracts progressive employees. It attracts, you know, by and large, a progressive clientele. But, you know, for some time, but particularly during the pandemic, I think, you know, workers saw their jobs get, harder, more stressful, more dangerous, and in many ways sort of felt abandoned by Starbucks management. You know, many of these problems to do with understaffing had been building for some time, but the pandemic was really, I think, the breaking point for a lot of workers, and you who began to feel that the only way that we can get just treatment on the job is by having an independent voice, by having a seat at the bargaining table. And this is what they want. I mean, Howard Schultz has said in an interview that he will never engage with the union because it would undermine the customer experience.
Howard Schultz, the CEO of Starbucks.
Howard Schultz, yes, sorry, the interim CEO, former CEO. I think there's zero evidence that it would undermine the customer experience. You know, Disney, theme parks are unionized, people have a great time with many other employers. However, even if that were the case, unfortunately for Howard Schultz, as a question of law, the issue is not whether a union would undermine the customer experience. The issue is whether or not his employees want to choose a union. And the law demands that they get a fair choice. And at the moment, Starbucks is trying to deny that fair choice at every store throughout the country. It's essentially said that, you know, it's going to improve benefits, it's going to improve wages, but only if your store is not engaged in organizing activity. Now, I would say disingenuously, the company has said its hands are tied by the law. It can't change the conditions for stores that have unionized or are organizing. But actually, these stores have already written to Starbucks, made very clear, we will file no objections. We want you to extend these benefits to everyone. And eventually, everyone will get them. But again, you know, Starbucks at the store level and at the corporate level is telling workers, if you engage in organizing activity, you will lose benefits that you really care about, whether it be college benefits, benefits transfer store, even abortion and trans-specific healthcare benefits.
And that's
it's
illegal.
Really trying to create a climate of fear around the issue of union organizing. And yes, that is unlawful.
All right. John Logan is professor at San Francisco State University Department Chair and an expert on anti-union activities and legislation. Professor Logan, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.